Colossians chapter 3. We're going to finish up the chapter tonight. We're going to be looking at verses 22 through 25. Let me read those verses for us first, and then we'll dig into them. Colossians 3, verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. He's addressing this section to servants. The word servant that is used there comes from the Greek word doulos. It refers to a slave. And in Paul's first century world, there were a lot of slaves. In fact, there's an estimate of historians say that between 10 and 20% of the population in the Roman Empire were slaves. There's a lot of slaves. And the slaves in those days did not fare very well. I find a quotation here that really addresses them. This is from the PBS, and I want to just read this quotation. They say, slaves in the Roman in Rome might include prisoners of war, sailors captured and sold by pirates, slaves bought outside the Roman territory. In hard times, it was not uncommon for desperate Roman citizens to raise money by selling their own children into slavery. All slaves and their families were property of their owners, who could sell or rent them at any time. Their lives were harsh. Slaves were often whipped, branded, cruelly mistreated. Their owners could kill them for any reason and would face no punishment. Not a very pretty picture. Pretty sorry times and difficult times. And they had no freedom. Occasionally they could earn their freedom, but most had no opportunity to do that. That was an uncommon thing for them to have that opportunity. Interestingly, the Apostle Paul and James and Peter and Jude and John all identified themselves as slaves of Jesus Christ. The slaves in that era had no motivation to do their best. The only motivation they had was to avoid punishment. And yet Paul writes this section to them and says, servants, obey in all things your masters. As he wrote this, no doubt the people who were reading this, the slaves particularly, you know, you think about it, if our congregation had 10% slaves in it, and sometimes the congregations would be more than that of slaves because slaves were more tender than typical people. We see that in our own world today. The common people, the poor people, are more open to the gospel than the more sophisticated people many times. And so there may be a quarter of the congregation that were slaves. And so Paul, writing to the Colossian church, says, servants, obey in all things your masters. He's dealing with a large congregation. And not only the servants, but also those who had servants, had an impact on what was being said here. Though we are not slaves, we all work for somebody. Even you children, you work for somebody. By that I mean, you may be doing your jobs at home for mom and dad. You may be working as a housewife. You may be working for an employer. Or just obeying the laws of our land. We're under somebody. Somebody's telling us what to do. And God says here we're to obey those over us. God wants us to do our best. To do our best. And to help us to do our best, God tells us what to do, how to do it, and why we must do it. We see this in these verses here for us tonight. And I want to pull that apart and have a look at that. Notice, first of all, in verse number 22, the what, why, how and why in this verse. All right, the what first. What does he tell us to do? He says, obey. Obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh. So he says, obey. So the what here dealing with obey. Here God is telling us that we need to obey our masters, those that are over us. It doesn't matter whether that master is just mom and dad, or whether that master is the boss at work, or the government, or someone else. God requires that we obey. God wants us as believers to be obedient people. And when we obey, we listen to the instructions, and we do what we're told. You know, if we don't obey, why is it that we don't obey? There's two basic reasons we don't obey. Number one, we didn't listen. I don't know how many times, you know, as a kid, I probably was guilty of this more than most kids. Yeah, you're told something to do, and you don't listen carefully. It goes one ear in, ear out, the other ear, and you don't do it because you didn't listen. And so we weren't blatantly trying to be bad. We just didn't listen and didn't get the instruction. The other reason that we don't obey is we just choose not to obey. I don't want to do that. I don't like that. I'm not going to do that. And we don't obey. Or we are slack, we are slow, we don't do it as fast as we should because we don't want to do it. So those are the two basic things. Both of them are wrong. We need to be listening. When someone speaks, we need to listen. And that's something that I am still learning, to stop, look, and listen when someone speaks. That's an important thing to learn. I'm still listening. Sometimes I get reminded of that. You need to stop and listen. You know, because when something's being said, if we don't stop, look, and listen, we'll miss it. And so it's important for us to do that in order to catch what is going on. Now, God clarifies it for us by the next phrase. He says, in all things. And then he goes on and he says, according to the flesh. He's talking about obeying your master. So he says, in all things, according to the flesh. What is he talking about here? Well, he says, everything that deals with our flesh, our body, the things that we do, he says, you need to obey in these things. And I think he's making a distinction there, saying that not everything that we're told to do, if it goes against Scripture, do we need to do. Remember the apostles there, when they were told to stop preaching there in Acts chapter 3 and 4 and 5. They said, don't preach anymore. And they said, we can't help but preach what God's told us to do. We've got to do what God told us to do. It's a better to obey God than man. All right, so there's sometimes when we do need to disobey, but most of the time that's not the case. When it's commands in the flesh, things that we need to do, whether it be for work or at home or our jobs or our duties, we need to obey. And so it says these things we need to obey. So that's the what of this is to we need to obey. The how. He goes on, he says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart fearing God. Alright? He says here, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart. Let's pull those things apart. Eye service. What eye service is working well when we're being watched. You know, as long as somebody's watching, we're doing a good job, we're paying attention, we're being doing what we're supposed to be doing. You know, there's a good example of this, and you kids have seen this in school. Alright? The teacher's in the room, she's giving instructions, and people are paying a little bit of attention and obeying, sort of. But what happens as soon as the teacher walks out the door and shuts the door? Things go wild. You know, everybody does their own thing. Alright? So they're obeying with eye service. Now I hope you boys aren't involved in that. Alright? God wants us to obey, not with eye service. Eye service means as long as I'm being watched, I'll do what's right. And if I'm not being watched, I'll muck around and do what I want to do. That's serving with eye service. And he says, we are to work not as men pleasers. That is just what the word says, to please men. Not to just be doing things to get praise or doing things for promotion. You know, some people just work, you can just tell by watching how they're working. They're just working hard to try to make sure they do impressive things when someone's watching so that they'll get recognized and maybe they'll get a bonus or they'll get a boost in their job or a promotion of some sort. And God says, that's not how we ought to promote ourselves. He says, not as men pleasers. Not doing it just to be promoted. There's nothing wrong with pleasing mom or pleasing the boss. That's good. But if we're doing it just to be able to be recognized or to get something for out of this, he says that's not what we ought to do. Not as men pleasers. Then he says in singleness of heart. The word singleness there deals with sincerity. To be sincere about it. Genuine. So we're to be working not just to go through the motions, but genuinely, sincerely doing the job. Because we want to do a good job. And we want to do it right. That's what we ought to have. There ought to be a deep down desire, deep down inside, to want to be able to do this job as good as anybody can do the job. I want to do it right. And it doesn't really matter whether it's a job we enjoy or a job that's not so nice. There are some not so nice jobs we have to do. Somebody's got to do them. Somebody's got to clean the toilet. Somebody's got to scrub the floor. Somebody's got to clean up the messes. And we don't enjoy those. They're not something we look at, get excited about. Oh, good, it's my day to clean all the dirty floors. No, we don't do that. But at the same time, we ought to do it the best we can so that we get it done right, and it'll please God when we do that. And that brings us to the last thing he says here, the why of the verse. He says, fearing God. All right. So if we are obeying, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, we will be showing that we fear God. In other words, I'm doing this because God told me to. You know, when you start, you boys think about this. When you obey mom or dad or your teacher, you are actually obeying God. Because God said, children, obey your parents. So when God said you must obey, and you obey, you're not just obeying the person you're obeying. You're actually obeying God. And you're showing that you fear God. If you say, I don't have to obey God, and I don't have to obey my parents, I'm going to do what I want to do, well, that's showing no fear of God. And there's a lot of people in our world today that have no fear of God. You know, people do wrong as long as they think they can get away with it and not get caught. That seems to be a common philosophy in our world. It's okay as long as you don't get caught. If you get caught, well, that's bad luck and you shouldn't have done that and that was not a good idea. But as long as you don't get caught, go for it. And that's tragic. And we don't want to be part of that. We want to be part of those that are doing right because we know that it pleases God. But then we look at the verses 23 to 25. Look again with me and find the what, how, and the why. All right, verse number 23. This is a little bit more subtle. You got to watch carefully here. He says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Now, let's just stop there. This is where if you have a study Bible or a software that you can use on your phone or on your computer, you'll be benefited by this. All right, he says here, whatsoever you do. All right, the first, there's two do's there. Notice that? The first do is a word that means to make or to do something. It's just like, come on, let's go do something. That's the kind of word it is. It's doing something. We're doing something right now. We're sitting and listening. We're doing something. We sang song. We were doing something. We had a quiz time. And we were doing things. That's the word that is used there. But he says, whatever you're doing, do it with all your heart. That second do is a totally different word. It's the word that's usually translated work. Labor. He said, whatever you do, you work at it with all your heart. Work at it. Work at it. It takes energy. It takes effort. Work at it. So whether you're doing a Bible drill, work at it with all your heart. Whether you're cleaning the floor, work at it with all your heart. Whether you're doing your homework assignment at school, work at it with all your heart. Focus on it. Put your heart into it. So he says, we need to work at it. So this is the emphasis here. So when you see that, he says, whatsoever you do, work at it. Work at it. And he says then that it's to be done heartily. All right, now this is the how. How are we to work at it? How are we to work? Well, he says heartily. This word heartily is a word that literally means, if you were to translate it literally, this phrase, it's actually two words, out of soul. Out of your soul. Kind of a weird way of saying it. That's probably why they translate it heartily. It makes more sense to us. But out of your soul. The idea here is that it comes from deep down inside. You know, what is the difference between our body, soul, and spirit? Is there a difference between body, soul, and spirit? Well, I believe there is. Jesus, in fact, spoke of the difference between these in Mark chapter 12 and verse number 30, where he says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength." All right, he talked about the soul there, and he talked about the mind and the heart. So he's just making distinctions here. So there is a difference between our heart and our soul. The soul is the part deep down inside, that part of us that is the real us down inside. He says, do it with all your heart, with deep down inside. You know, we would say, put your heart into it. It's doing it with our energy, with our desire, with our passion. It's motivated from within rather than motivated outwardly by obligations. Sometimes and I can speak for you boys because I know I've gone through this when I was a kid. When you do your homework, sometimes you do your homework out of obligation, not out of inner desire. All right? You do it because I've got to do this. I've got an assignment. If I don't do it, I'm going to get in trouble. I've got to do it. So I do it out of obligation, but not out of desire. But if we do it from our heart, what it is from the heart is when we say, I want to learn this. I want to know what this is about. I want to benefit from this. I want to get this study. I want to learn how that works. And then it's doing it heartily, out of our soul, out of our heart. And the same is true with our work. You know, if we'll put our work, our heart into our work, and I admit, some jobs are more easy to pour your heart into than others. I've had some boring jobs. You know, I had one job for a while working on a big press. And we were pressing pieces of metal. And I'd take a piece out of one bin, put it in the press, push the buttons and come down and punch holes, and I'd take it out of there, put it in there, and do it. And you do that day, hour after hour, all day long, as boring can be. Nothing to do. So you just try to say Bible verses, think about things, because it's terribly boring. Can't really put my heart into that. But when you get a job where you can use a little bit of your imagination or your thoughts or your intellect to try to work at it and do it better, always looking for there's got to be a better way of doing this. There's got to be a faster way. There's got to be a more sophisticated, we can do better than this. And you just pour your heart into it, and that's when you can really put your soul and heart into it. So those kind of jobs are great. And it doesn't matter whether it's digging a hole or writing a document or what it is, if you can pour your heart into it, it helps. There's just looking for a better way. You know, I guess maybe that's one of my mottos in my life. There's got to be a better way. Let's try to find a better way of doing this. Just give you a little illustration. For years, when I was a boy on the farm, when we would dig post holes, we had those kind of post hole diggers that had the two handles, and you punch it in the ground, you pull it apart and lift it up and dump it out. And they weren't, they're not real popular over here, or at least they weren't. I don't know if they are now or not. They had some of the screw kinds, and they had different kinds of post hole diggers. Well, years ago, I had an opportunity to buy one when the master store that was in Butler went under. And they were selling for $10. And I thought, I should buy that, but I've got all the holes dug. I won't buy that. I've dug so many holes since then. I said, oh, this is crazy. I should have bought that thing. But the great thing about those post hole diggers, and I found some the other day, and I finally broke down. I said, I'm going to buy them because I'm tired of doing this the hard way. Because you can just go down straight in the hole. I'm down in there with a scoop and a shovel and a spoon and digging the stuff out of there. I said, there's got to be a better way than this. But looking for a better, put your heart into it, and it's amazing how our work can be so much more enjoyable if we'll put our heart into it. Even if it's something we don't really enjoy, even if your job is the dirty job of cleaning the toilet, just say, hey, I'm going to make this thing as shiny and clean as it's ever been before. We're going to just do it right. And just pour your heart into it. It's amazing how that'll help you. And God says here, I want you to do your work heartily. And he says, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Wow, that's a big one. We are to work just like we're working for the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, I'm going to do this job the very best I can because I'm doing it for God. I'm not doing it for mom. I'm not doing it for the boss. I'm not doing it for the, you know, somebody else. I'm doing it for God. And I'm going to do my very best on this thing. So he says, pour your heart in. And he says, do it as unto the Lord and not unto men. It's interesting. He adds that last little phrase there. He says, do it as to the Lord and not unto men. So I'm not to be doing it like I'm doing it for people or doing it for someone else. I'm doing it as I'm doing it for the Lord. You know, the boss for these slaves, the master of the slaves, many times they just didn't treat them very well. And these slaves, after a long, hard, painful day, toiling in the field or whatever their job was, you know, all that many of them ever received for their labor was a bland meal and an uncomfortable bed and a few hours of sleep before they started all over and did the same thing again. Nothing to live for. And yet God was speaking to those slaves that had a boring, miserable, unhappy, unfulfilled life. And he says, I want you to pour your heart into this. Pour your heart into your work. Work as unto the Lord. Don't work as if you're working for men. Work like you're working for the Lord. Do the very best you can. Doesn't matter what it is we're doing. You know, whether we're typing a report or scrubbing the floor or teaching a lesson or repairing a motor or installing a program or painting the walls or whatever it is we're doing, we're to pour our heart into it. And I know some jobs are more fun than others. And we all have our different personalities. Some of you might say, oh, I really like doing that. And some of you say, oh, I hate doing that. And we all have different things that we enjoy, but God says, pour your heart into it. Do the best you can for the Lord. And then he says, why? He tells us the reason why in verses 24 and 25. He says, knowing that of the Lord, ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. So he says, the first reason is that the Lord Jesus Christ is keeping track and he's going to give you a reward. Now that word translated reward is a word that means a recompense. What it means is payment for the job. God's going to pay you. Now these slaves, remember, what pay did they get? Nothing. Most of the time, probably a vast majority of the time, they didn't even get a thank you. They'd work all day, sweat and toil for the boss or for the master. And at the end of the day, he didn't even say thank you. He didn't appreciate them. He just, and if they didn't do it as fast as he wanted, he'd whip them or whatever. It was not a happy time. But God says, you do it as unto the Lord. And though you don't get any reward from the boss or the master or whoever you're working for, God remembers and God will recompense it. There's a day coming, God will reward. He talks about in the day he will recompense a reward of inheritance. Now, an inheritance, we're thinking of something that's coming in the future. Something that God has in store for us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 17 says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. He said that we as Christians are joint heirs with Christ. Something that is joint is joined together. In other words, we are joined together with Jesus Christ. Joint heirs. So that means whatever belongs to Jesus belongs to me. I don't understand that. That doesn't make good sense to me. Why would God give me the same thing he's given to Jesus? And the only reason is that Jesus paid the debt of my sin and washed me clean. And I'm his child. And the same is true for you. He says, we are joint heirs with Christ. Peter goes on and elaborates on that in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 when he says that it is an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away that's reserved in heaven for us. This inheritance we have is something that will last for all eternity. It'll never fade. It'll never get dull. It'll never lose its value. It'll always be as wonderful as it is. And it is something we can look forward to. So he says, slaves, listen, if you're a slave and you get nothing and the boss doesn't even say thank you and all he does is curse and swears at you and doesn't treat you right, Don't worry. You do it like you're doing it for Christ, and one day, God will reward you for it. He's got a reward waiting for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Your labor is not in vain. God's going to repay it all. You will be so glad that you served God if you'll do your best for Him. We serve Christ, Jesus our Lord. And if we do that, He will pay the debt that was owed to us. The Lord even said that if we give a cup of cold water in His name, He'll reward us for it. Remember Matthew chapter 10, verse 42, Jesus said, "For whosoever shall give a cup, whosoever shall give a drink unto one of these little children, a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." God said, "I'm going to reward you." But He did say there that it'll be good or bad. There's another thing the Lord reminds us as He closes this passage that's very important. In verse 25, He says another reason that why we need to work heartily and do our best is verse 25, "But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." God said, if you do the wrong thing, you don't do a good job, you get lazy, you muck up when the teacher walks out of the room, you don't do what you're supposed to do, you take a break when the boss leaves the site, and you take it easy and don't work very hard, and when he gets back, you make excuses why you didn't get much done. You do that kind of thing. God says, I take that into consideration as well. And He says, "He that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." When it says there's no respect of persons, he's saying there, God doesn't play any favorites. You know, you're not going to be able to say, "Oh, you know me, Lord, I'm your buddy here. You know, you wouldn't do that to me." He says, "Yes, I would." He says, there's no favorites. If you mess around, you don't do your job right, and you don't give your best, God says, I'm taking that into consideration, and you will be sorry. So God's warning us here. He says, there's lots of benefits, lots of blessings if we do what's right and we do our best. But He says, if you don't do your best, there's also some pay for that too, and it's not good pay. And God says, there's no respect of persons. Everybody's going to get treated the same. They do wrong, they'll pay for it. And so it's very important for us. It doesn't matter what we're doing. It doesn't matter if you're cleaning your room because mom said, go clean your room. It doesn't matter if you're doing your homework. It doesn't matter if you're supposed to be studying at school and the teacher walks out of the room. You sit there and behave yourself. Everybody else mucks up. Let them do it, but you do what's right because God is watching. The teacher might not be watching, but God's watching. Same is true at work. And the boss may be gone. He may be gone for the whole afternoon. You can have the whole afternoon to do whatever you kind of please, as long as you do a little bit so it makes it look like you did something. But God's watching. God wants us to do our best. And so God is reminding us here, servants, obey in all things. Remember, He's writing to servants, people that had no rights at all. They got nothing out of all this. The only thing they would get out of this is if they didn't do right, they'd get beaten. Or even to the point of killed in some cases, if they didn't do what was right by the eyes of their master. God said, do your best, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, work at it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that ye shall receive of the Lord, receive of the inheritance. The reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. There's no respect of persons. Some great verses here. God's just saying, I want you to do your best. And that's something all of us can work at. And like I've mentioned all through the message, some things are easier to do than others. I admit that. There's some jobs that I love doing. Other jobs, I could leave them if I could. I don't really enjoy them. We all have that, and they're all different. We all have our different personalities. But whatever it is we're doing, he says, whatever you're doing, whether you like it or not, do it, work at it with all your heart. And God will bless you for it. We can work at it. Let's do it.